السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, حضرت سلمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ reports, خطبنا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فی آخر یوم من شعبان. نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام on the last day of شعبان, he addressed us. And what did he address us about? He addressed us about Ramadan. قَدْ أَزَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It's a lengthy hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. In the Fazail Ramadan also you get it as the first hadith sharif there. So from that we learn that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam informed the sahaba ikram of this Mubarak month that is coming, and what should be done in that month prior to the month having entered. He said, the month is entering now, it is dawning upon you, it is coming to you. You will now suddenly be in the month of Ramadan. So what is this Ramadan? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed them about Ramadan. Now I'm not going into the details of that hadith sharif or any other hadith sharif, but since this is the last Jumu'ah before the month of Ramadan, therefore it's appropriate that we should speak something about Ramadan itself. If a person is coming from overseas or is coming as a very respectable and a dignified guest, a dignitary is arriving, he is expected on a certain day, certain time, then the person doesn't start the preparation after he has arrived. The preparation is made long before he arrives. Just take marriages or weddings, feasts, and other celebrations. Everything, the preparation is long before time. In fact, I read one advertisement whilst in Johannesburg recently, and in that advertisement they were saying that don't miss out, make your purchases for Eid from now. Your Eid purchases, your dresses, your garments or your shirts and your pants or whatever it is, it says, don't miss out. Make the purchase from now. You will save if you buy now. Now look at that. Eid hasn't even come. Ramadan hasn't even come. And the people are making preparation for Eid. So when it comes to Ramadan also, generally our preparation, or the women folk, their preparation is samosas, bhajiyas, faluda, custard, and all the rest of the delicacies that we have. Then the preparation for that. Now nobody says that is haram, nobody says it is forbidden. It is permissible to make such preparation. However, that was not the preparation that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was talking about. That is a need. If a person makes it, alhamdulillah. But the thing is that the preparation was our mental state. We must condition our minds that Ramadan is coming. It's a very noble, respectable, dignified guest that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sending to us. And He is sending it to bless us. He is not a guest that will give us problems. He is not a guest that will give us some kind of trouble. There are many people who receive guests, and the guests stay for a couple of days, and after that the hosts say that I wish this guest never comes again. The amount of damage that they do or their children do in the home, then they say, I wish this guest doesn't come again. And if he comes, I do not wish to give him my home again because of the damage. Therefore, I always say that if you are a guest somewhere, then you must leave that house or that home in a better condition than you found it. Generally, we are negligent. If we go somewhere, people invite us and we stay overnight or we stay a few days, they say, my house, You can have it, stay there with your children. Then after a couple of days, it's in such a condition that the person who has been so kind and generous and offered it to us for accommodation, he becomes disappointed and he does not want to see us again there. So we must go the extra mile and make sure that it is cleaner than what we found it to be. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith sharif and many other hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have to just look at the gist of them, and the message that is given in those ahadith is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has favored the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with this Mubarak month. It is a month in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose, or in the month in which Allah ta'ala revealed all the holy books, Tawrat, Zabur, Injil, and the holy Quran Sharif, everything in the month of Ramadan. Showing that it is a special month. It is not just one of the ordinary months in which we just stay away from some food and drink and we think we have done justice to it. It is a guest that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sending to us. We must show appreciation for this guest. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that the aslaf, the people of the past, the pious and the righteous ones, from the month of Shaban, or in the month of Shaban, they used to fulfill all their obligations with regards to their debts and other necessities and requirements and obligations. They used to fulfill all that in the month of Shaban to whatever extent they could. And they should try and free themselves completely for the month of Ramadan. They should show such appreciation for the month of Ramadan that they should try and free themselves completely. If they had to go and visit someone, they should do it in Shaban. If they had to go and pay somebody his debts, they should do it in Shaban. If they had to go do some buying and purchases and other things, they should do it in Shaban. And in the month of Ramadan, they should try and free themselves. Now, of course, this is not possible for those people who are working, those who are employed. It is not going to be possible. But there are many, many people for whom it is possible if they want to free themselves in the month of Ramadan. And those others also who are working, last night in the majlis I mentioned, that nobody can be more busier than the prophets of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I gave those four examples that Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, the person who will say that he couldn't make ibadat, he couldn't make zikr, tilawat, I'm just giving the meaning of that hadith sharif, that he couldn't do all those things because he was very, very sick. So then Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam will be presented, that if you are very sick, then look at Hazrat Ayyub, how sick he was. But did it prevent him from ibadat, zikr, tilawat? The person who will say that I couldn't make ibadat because I was a slave, I was not a free person, the person was in prison, the person was going through torture, difficulties, he was in Guantanamo Bay or somewhere else. So for them, in their condition, to whatever extent they can remain engaged in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam will be presented, that see my Yusuf. He was imprisoned. Before that, he was put into the well. He was sold as a slave. He was put into prison. All those things. But it did not prevent Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if the person says he is very poor, that is why he cannot really do any ibadat, zikr, tilawat. He is very poor. So at that time, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be presented, that look my Isa, that he was very poor. But did it prevent him from making any kind of ibadat, zikr, tilawat? And if the person says that he's very rich, plenty of businesses, too many things to look after, and the person has to fly from Hong Kong here, there, everywhere, he has to do a lot of work, he's very busy. So Hazrat, at that time, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam will be presented, that does anybody have a kingdom like what we gave to Sulaiman alayhi salam? He had rule over the human beings, over the jinnat, over the animals, over the creatures. So who can be more busier than Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? So this is the month in which we must not find excuses. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if a person has to forego one fast in the month of Ramadan without any valid reason, if the person is very sick and ill, it is a different story. But without a valid reason, like one year the marathon was in the month of Ramadan, so people were telephoning and asking that, Maulana, if we forego a fast for running the marathon, will it be permissible? So the person who phoned and asked me, this question, I told him, well, in any case, you know that it is not permissible to forego the fast for running the marathon. But even if you run, because I knew that person, I said, if you run amongst the 10,000-12,000 people, inshallah, you will be last. So why forego the fast? So without any valid excuse to forego the fast, even if that person has to fast a lifetime after that, he will not be able to get those rewards that he would have got if he had kept that fast in that month of Ramadan. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companions, even when they were out in jihad, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to actually tell them that don't fast because of the extreme heat and the great difficulty that they were finding themselves in, and some of them were collapsing. But they still wanted to keep the fast. They knew what the fast was all about because they truly believed that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had said with regards to the month of Ramadan, that this is not a month of just staying away from food and drink. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the people in the month of Ramadan. The fasting person, his dua is accepted, definitely accepted. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that three people, their duas are never rejected. The fasting person, until he opens his fast, his dua is not rejected. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala definitely accepts that person's dua. Now imagine the whole month of Ramadan the person has got to keep fast and make duas and wait for acceptance from Allah Ta'ala. And by now 120 times you have heard that the acceptance of the dua does not mean that we get exactly that which we asked. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives us exactly that which we ask. Sometimes He gives us something better in return. We do not even know that this was because of the dua that we made. Sometimes He removes another difficulty, a problem, a disaster that the person was going to face in his life, and this person is not aware of. Because we don't have ilm of ghaib, of the unseen, where do we have ilm? Allah Ta'ala knows that this person was going to face this accident or this disaster in his life. Now he is making dua, oh Allah, I am sick and ailing, give me complete shifa from my sickness. So he didn't get shifa from his sickness, but Allah Ta'ala removed that big bala that was going to come. Or in the hereafter, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him. And sometimes the person is asking, day and night is asking for material things. Ya Allah, bless me with this, bless me with that. He's only asking for material things. And he's not getting that which he's asking. He's asking for plenty of wealth. He's asking for a good car. He's asking for gold and silver. He's not getting that which he's asking. And he says, I've been making this dua for the past 10 years. But I'm still in that same state of poverty. But he forgets to see that many a times it is on account of those duas which were not accepted for the material things, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with the ni'mat of spiritual blessings. The person is given the tawfiq of making a tasbih, of making tahajjud salat, or the person is given the tawfiq of giving charities, or the person is given the tawfiq of doing some other deeds and ibadat which the person would not have been able to do. Suddenly he gets the strength, suddenly he gets the tawfiq of doing it. So Allah Ta'ala only knows what He will give, but the du'as are accepted as long as the person's earnings are not tainted with haram. Now that is a major problem. Every day we are dealing with cases. Mawlana, please make du'a, I've got a gambling habit. Please make du'a, I've avoided gambling now, but I still cannot avoid the lotto tickets. They're still saying. So many people, and many other ways that the haram is coming through interest, earnings, or through the gambling dens, or the transactions are not halal. So we must make sure that our earnings are halal. Otherwise the person will keep on saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the person with disheveled hair, long journey, now is crying and pleading to Allah Ta'ala about, and saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. But Allah Ta'ala says, how can your dua be accepted when the food that you are eating is haram, the clothes you are wearing haram? So how can your duas be accepted? So we have to make sure that our earnings are halal. And that is the reason why the ulama have recommended. Again, we must understand very clearly that it is not some kind of machine into which you put your haram earnings and then press the button and it comes away halal. Sometimes people use this masla thinking that it is all haram things, you put it in some kind of machine and then you press the button, everything will come away halal. It's not that. We are talking about those people who have some kind of a doubt. They are making every effort to earn halal. They are not going for haram. But they have some kind of a doubt in their earnings. And in these days, who doesn't have a doubt? So if the person has got some kind of doubt, slight doubt, but it's not haram, so then at that time it is recommended that the person in the month of Ramadan, at least the person should go and take goods on credit, buy the groceries or anything else that he's going to be using on credit, and then pay with that money that he thinks there could be a little bit of doubt in it. So understand it clearly. I'm not saying that take all the haram from the gambling den and then buy credit and then pay with that. It'll all come halal. But those who have a little bit of doubt, then do that. So that at least you know that all what you have purchased for the month of Ramadan, it is totally halal. Because you bought it on credit, and now with this money you paid it off. In which there was some slight doubt. But this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that the fasting person, his du'as are accepted. Allah Ta'ala, he imprisons the rebellious shayateen. And that is something that we all see with our open eyes. That as soon as the moon will be sighted for the month of Ramadan, then millions of people around the world, many of whom who never saw the masjid for the whole year, but they will flock to the masjid. There will be a total change in the atmosphere. This is a miracle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that the shayateen, the evil shayateen, they are chained, they are imprisoned. Now we only have to contend with our nafs, because it's nafs and shaitan that mislead people. Shaitan also became shaitan because of his nafs. His nafs told him, don't make sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why he became shaitan. Therefore some people say that you need two steps to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One step on shaitan and the other step on your nafs. But Mujaddid Millat rahmatullah alayhi says that it is only one step that you require. And that step is on your nafs, because this nafs is the guru gantal. It is the leader of even the shaitans. The temptation that comes into our nafs. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. He's a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But even he is saying that this nafs I don't trust. It will goad you, it will encourage you, it will take you, it will direct you towards haram. Towards that which is su, which is evil. So he said, I don't absolve my nafs also. So this nafs, because we are in the habit of doing certain things throughout the year, for the 11 months of the year, the person who doesn't make salat, it may become difficult for him to make it in the month of Ramadan. For the 11 months of the year, the person who's been watching those porn sites on the internet, and the person who's watching all those films on the television, or is going to the cinemas, or is going to the wrong places, or is indulging in adultery and fornication, then even in the month of Ramadan, his nafs is not going to die. The nafs is never dead, the nafs is always alive. Yes, it can be suppressed. That beautiful example which I think you may have heard, that the person even brought one huge snake, and it was because of the snow, the snake was looking as if it is lifeless, it is dead. But it wasn't dead, it was just because of the snow. It was appearing as if it is lifeless. Now he thought that this is the ideal thing now to have a nice show and make some money. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives this as an example. So he brought the huge snake and then he showed it to everybody. And the people used to gather and he said, look what a snake catcher I am. Look at the massive size of this snake. But then when the sun rose, and after that the heat of the sun began to warm the body of the snake, that snake picked up its head and it began to wriggle. So the first person to run was that same person who was claiming he's a great snake catcher. And what does he give us? What lesson does he give us from that? That this nafs of ours, sometimes we make some mujahada, we make some effort, we attend the right programs. The person sometimes goes out in tabligh and dawat, sometimes he goes to some khanqa, sometimes he goes to some masjid program, sometimes he's in some good company, and because of that he comes on track, and that for some time it appears as if his nafs is now dead. But it is not dead, just give it a slight taste of that sin again. So many people, wallah, I'm telling you without exaggeration, because I write reply to letters every day of my life, and I deal with cases every day of my life. So many people, so many, who were out of sins, they had given up sins, and they thought that now we were quite secure, and nafs and shaitan we had overpowered. But then they opened up the newspaper and they looked at those same columns again, what television programs are on for the day, and they went back to the same sins, and they said, now we are caught again. Or they looked at what your stars foretell columns, and again they were gone into the wrong direction. Or they saw some other things, just one sin again. Or again nafs tempted the person that one more time if you just commit adultery or fornication, what's there? We heard so many times from the Maulanas, Allah Ta'ala is very forgiving and very merciful. So therefore what's there if you commit the sin again one more time? So Allah Ta'ala is merciful and forgiving, indeed He is. And Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran Sharif in so many places. But it was not that on the strength of Allah Ta'ala being Ghafoorur Rahim, now we commit sins. That was not why Allah Ta'ala said and informed us that I am Ghafoorur Rahim. I am most forgiving. Because now you have a license to go and commit sins. It was not that. Accidentally the person committed a sin, so now make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. Or even deliberately and purposely he went far away from deen, far away from Quran, far away from sunnah, so don't lose hope, come back. But it doesn't mean that now one more time let's commit it because Allah Ta'ala is forgiving. So this month of Ramadan that is coming, it is a gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which He is sending to us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose it for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And the Holy Quran Sharif was revealed in this month. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, with regards to eating and drinking, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قَيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّارِ. That the person, or many people you will find, many people who are fasting people, we will be keeping our fast. But at the end of the day, if we have to ask ourselves that what did you really gain from this fast? I'm just giving you an explanation. That what did you really gain from this fast? Then that person will say, well, I stayed hungry from the morning till the evening. That's about all. Or the person stayed awake at night, he made some tahajjud, he made some du'as, he made some ibadat, and in the morning he's bragging about how many Quran Sharif khatams he made in that one night, and how much of tasbih he read, and how much of du'as he made, and how much, and he considers himself superior to all the others now, and holier than thou attitude comes into him. So all of what he gained in that night was nothing. It was just loss of sleep, nothing else. And again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not benefit in any way by our fasting. He doesn't benefit in any way. What benefit does Allah Ta'ala get if we stay hungry? It is the benefit in that is not to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The benefit is for us. Allah Ta'ala doesn't gain anything from it. So we have to understand that this month of Ramadan that is coming, the preparation has to be made from now. We have a few days left. If the moon is sighted, then Tuesday night is going to be Taraweeh. So mentally condition ourselves that I want to stay away from every sin in this Mubarak month. I want to cut down completely the ghibat that we indulge in, the backbiting, the gossiping, and the idle time wasting, chit-chat, useless, of no benefit at all. There's no doubt lots of things are still happening and they will continue to happen in the month of Ramadan. But there are many, many things that are happening which are of no real consequence to us. It's not going to change our condition in any way. Many news items that we read, it doesn't really change our condition. Yes, with regards to what's happening in the Muslim world or around the world, those things that are affecting the Ummah at large and mankind, that is a different story. But in the month of Ramadan, we should try and curtail as much as possible. And with regards to those who have the business houses, then if you cannot curtail your business activities, then at least show some consideration for the staff, the Muslim staff. We're not talking about that staff who if you give them off early, then they go and sleep or they go and indulge in other haram. But there are many people who would like to get to the masjid early. They would like to make some istighfar, tawbah and engage in ibadat. You will get all those rewards if you have to accommodate them. And if you have to close your business at 15 minutes or half an hour earlier than usual, wallah, as I've mentioned many times, we can take a billion qasams in this masjid and tell you that check at the end of the month if there has been any shortage in your earnings, in your average earnings, if there's any shortage. In fact, if you won't be surprised, there could be an increase because of the consideration that you gave. But those people who make their staff work in the same way that they make them work for the 11 months of the year, then please understand that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made you the boss today. He has made you the boss. It is not that we have become bosses on our own. And if we are not going to give consideration, Allah Ta'ala knows how to turn the tables also. Look around the world and see what has happened. So many people, what happened to them? Where are those kings gone? Where are those rulers gone? And where are those people who are doing injustice upon their employees gone? Again, of course, the employees also must not always make this as an excuse. If you are employed and you are asked to work for a certain period of time, then even if you cannot make nafil ibadat, it doesn't matter. So I'm not saying, we must not go on to any extremes. The person mustn't say, Maulana said this, so you have to give me half an hour off early. Maulana mentioned this, therefore you must close your business half a day. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying that there should be consideration from the side of the employers, that they should try and accommodate the Muslim staff, that release them a little earlier, so that they can go and prepare themselves for iftar, and go and engage themselves in some dua and istighfar after asr. But on the other hand, if the person is not able to get off, or if the boss does not desire to give off, then the employee has got no right to demand that because he heard one bayan, therefore you must give it off. You will still have to work till 5 o'clock and have that niyat that, oh Allah, if only my boss had given me half an hour early off, I would have made it to the masjid by asr time and then I would have sat there till maghrib time and made ibadat. But because I cannot, so Allah Ta'ala will then give the person the same reward as the one who went and engaged himself in ibadat. Because the man is working hard, he's trying to earn a livelihood for his wife, his children. So look at Islam, it's beautiful, it's easy, it's practical. So this month of Ramadan that's coming, let us not be negligent. Let us make the extensive effort to reform and change our lifestyles, to get this connection with Allah Ta'ala. If we're not going to get it in Ramadan, when else are we going to get it? May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire Ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire Ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana.